Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Israeli planes today once again attacked Beirut, soon after American Special Envoy Philip Habib met with Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin in Jerusalem, where they discussed details of Habib's plan for peaceful evacuation of Palestinian guerrillas from Lebanon. The story in Beirut first from Peter Sherman.
Israeli warplanes launched new air raids on Palestinian positions south of the capital at midday. And fighting continued around Beirut's main east-west crossing, despite the important new step in the efforts to settle the crisis peacefully. Syria's agreement to accept as many Palestine Liberation Organization guerrillas as the PLO will send is seen as the key to the problem of where the fighters trapped here can go. Lebanese intermediary Saab Salam says 4,500 will go to Syria. At least half the estimated PLO and allied soldiers, by all counts except that of Israeli Foreign Minister Yitzhak Shamir. Tunisia has agreed to take 1,000 others from the first batch to leave, whenever that might be. North and South Yemen, Iraq, and possibly Egypt and other Arab countries are expected to give refuge to others who leave Lebanon. Differences remain on the question of when an international buffer force will step in. The Lebanese cabinet has canceled its regular weekly meeting today, at which it had been expected to make formal requests for the force. But sources say diplomatic resolution remains possible, if not probable. A PLO spokesman says he thinks the chances are 50-50. Peter Sherman, CBS News, Beirut.
Now the latest on Philip Habib's discussions today in Jerusalem, reported by Bob Fall.
Habib still has some selling to do, but there are signs the Begin government wants to be convinced. To satisfy Israeli demands, Habib reportedly brought with him a list of Arab countries which will take in the PLO fighters, and he is also compiling another list showing where each PLO member would go. And the special envoy has agreed with Israel that the multinational peacekeeping force will stay only 30 days and that the whole deal is off if the PLO tries to stay on. There are skeptics. Defense Chief Sharon still doubts the plan will work and suspects PLO treachery. Nor will the government budge on its demand that all Syrian troops leave Lebanon. So, even though it wants to believe, the government is driving a hard bargain. After all, said one official here, we're not dealing with a bunch of monks and hermits. Bob Paul, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The Reagan administration is displaying encouragement about the chances for peaceful evacuation of the Palestinians from Lebanon. White House spokesman Larry Speaks said yesterday, we are hopeful there can be rapid movement toward implementation of the full peace plan. President Reagan met at the White House with Israeli opposition leader Shimon Peres, and the White House then put out a statement expressing cautious optimism that the remaining issues may be resolved soon. Anti-Jewish violence recurred this morning in Paris. David Andelman tells us about it.
This morning's bombing of a building housing a one-time Jewish-owned bank and an import-export firm dealing with Israel is at least the fifth violent anti-Semitic incident in France in the past 10 days. Incidents that French police admit reluctantly they are a little closer to solving today than they have been since they occurred. Tonight, the French Jewish community is planning a series of prayer services and a night-long vigil, all in sympathy for the 6 who died and 21 who were wounded in the attack Monday on a delicatessen in Paris's Jewish district, the Marais. But for many French Jews, these incidents are only a symptom of a deeper problem in French society. Rabbi Michael Williams is the rabbi at the synagogue on the Rue Copernic, where a terrorist bomb exploded 2 years ago during a Sabbath service.
I have been assured that in the last few months there has been a considerable increase in anti-Semitic feeling and pressures. It may be that people are once again becoming used to the presence of politically or socially motivated anti-Semitism in French society, so this is a tragedy for French society.
Rabbi Williams disagrees with some who in the past 24 hours have urged French Jews to arm themselves against future violence, but such sentiments too seem to be growing. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
Convicted murderer Frank Coppola went to his death last night in Virginia's electric chair. Last-minute delaying efforts were made on his behalf, without his consent, but they failed. Jerry Landay reports from Richmond.
With an hour and a half to go, the word came from Washington that the proceedings could go forward. Coppola had insisted that he be allowed to die in a dignified manner. To that end, prison officials would not provide a visitor's list on the last day, would not describe his last meal, or relate his last words. What is known is that he walked calmly about 30 paces from his cell to the chair, received two 55-second bursts of 2,500 volts each, and died. The Reverend Joe Engel, a friend of Coppola and anti-capital punishment activist, was the last person, other than the warden, to speak to the condemned man.
I hope to God that the citizens of the state of Virginia think about this act tonight. And because, as far as I'm concerned, and I think anyone who thinks about it, killing Frank Coppola is a simple act of murder.
Many would not agree in Virginia. It is a state which last November elected a governor sworn to implement the state's revised death penalty law. True to that pledge, Governor Charles Robb refused to exercise his power to grant Coppola a reprieve. Jerry Landay, CBS News, Richmond.
Coppola was the fifth person to be executed in the United States since 1976, when the Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the death penalty. He was the first person to die in the Virginia electric chair in 20 years. Texas officials are investigating five murders in a Fort Worth suburb. One man was found decapitated. Four people were found with throats cut in the house next door. A suspect is under arrest in Wichita, Kansas, and he'll be questioned by Fort Worth police. President Reagan today is making a round-trip flight from Washington to Billings, Montana, helping to celebrate that city's centennial. And Nelson Benton reports that Mr. Reagan will be getting in some more licks for the tax bill that he wants Congress to approve.
Republican members of Congress trooped in and out of the White House all day long yesterday, hearing Mr. Reagan tell them that the $99 billion tax bill is tax reform, a deficit reduction measure, that it's about 17% tax increase, and the rest, closing loopholes and stiffer compliance rules. On whether Congressman Jack Kemp and other conservatives are trying to undermine his presidency with their opposition to the bill...
No, I think that Jack sincerely believes he's a purist in the supply-side economics, and we'll continue to talk and reason together.
He's not running for president himself.
What?
He's not running for president himself.
I didn't know the job was up for grabs.
Sources say Mr. Reagan plans a nationwide radio and television address seeking public support on the tax bill, probably early next week. Nelson Benton, CBS News, the White House.
Senate and House conferees have halted work on the tax bill for the time being because they can't agree on a reduction in welfare spending. The conference chairman, Senator Bob Dole of Kansas, says, quote, "We've reached a temporary impasse. If we're not going to cut spending, we're not going to raise taxes." The American Bar Association has been trying for years to come to grips with a troublesome issue. The time for dealing with it could have been now, but as we hear from Fred Graham in San Francisco, it won't be.
For 5 years, the American Bar Association has been struggling to hammer out a new code of ethics for lawyers that would sharpen lawyers' duties to deal fairly with the public and the legal system as well as with their clients. The ABA's House of Delegates was scheduled to finally vote on the new code at its current convention in San Francisco. The proposed code would have required lawyers to make it known if their clients were planning to commit serious crimes or frauds, to conceal evidence, or commit perjury. But there was an outcry during the debate here that this would undermine lawyers' duties to their clients. The lawyers also debated long and hard over other provisions that would more tightly regulate the fees that lawyers could charge. Former ABA President Robert Meserve chided the lawyers for bogging down over the issue of their fees.
I think that people who are interested in what lawyers do are going to comment on the fact that Section 1.5 relating to fees is the only thing we could get to in the course of a four-hour debate.
As dark was falling over San Francisco, the lawyers put off further consideration of the proposed ethics code for another 6 months, and many lawyers felt it meant it would never come to a vote. Fred Graham, CBS News, San Francisco.
Italian President Sandro Pertini this morning asked outgoing Prime Minister Giovanni Spadolini to try to form a new government. Socialists, who overthrew the government by withdrawing from it, at once opposed the move. The dollar is up again today on the foreign money markets, and gold is down. The price was fixed in London this morning at $332.88 an ounce, off about $3.50.
What is being thrashed out in Congress at the urging of President Reagan looks for all the world like a tax increase. But Mr. Reagan doesn't like you to call it that.
What we're really talking about is the necessity to reduce the deficits and thus get interest rates to continue coming down to get the economy moving again. And this will do it.
Some people don't think it will do it, of course.
And those who are opposing it cannot hide from the fact that they are supporting increased deficits and higher interest rates.
Now, Congressman Jack Kemp wouldn't define things that way at all.
This type of a tax increase at this moment in the economy would just abort what chances we have of getting people back to work.
The cynical might wonder if Kemp is trying to out-Reagan Reagan for political reasons. Mr. Reagan doesn't seem to think so.
No, I think Jack sincerely believes he's a purist in the supply-side economics, and we'll continue to talk and reason together.
He's not running for president himself.
Huh?
He's not running for president himself.
I didn't know the job was up for grabs.
The time has come, obviously, to define our terms here. Presidential Counselor Edwin Meese this morning on the CBS Morning News tried to explain what this mid-course economic correction is.
Well, first of all, this is not a mid-course correction. We are sticking with the same economic policies that are, in fact, working.
So we won't call this tax increase a mid-course correction, then. Not good enough, says Meese.
This is not just a tax increase bill. This is part of a comprehensive program to reduce the deficit, which is absolutely essential to keep interest rates coming down. And that actually is what's going to allow the economic recovery to go forward, which will produce the jobs that will get people off the unemployment rolls and back into productive jobs.
Okay, it is not a mid-course correction, then, and it's not a tax increase. What is it, then?
Actually, when you look at this bill, only about 17% of the tax of the revenue increases actually is an increase in taxes. Most of it is a compliance measure causing people who are now avoiding their legitimate tax payments and making sure they do pay their taxes like the rest of us.
In other words, don't say increase. Say, reform.
Another part of it is to close some unintended benefits and reform some of the tax legislation of the last several years.
Ed Meese's definitions are based on his premises, of course.
You have to remember that Ronald Reagan inherited probably the worst economic mess that has been foisted upon any president. We have been working now for almost 18 months to correct that situation and have made tremendous gains. Just the fact that we brought inflation down from over 12% down into the 6% range, cutting it literally in half, has been a tremendous help to all the American people who now have much more buying power, purchasing power, than they would have had otherwise.
So what we have here, then, is not an interruption of the tax reduction program.
This is a continuation of those policies and a part of our overall deficit reduction program.
It's a question of direction that developed quite spontaneously from proceeding north and south and east and west all simultaneously.
And the only way we can do it is to reduce the deficit so that we will keep the interest rates continuing to go down so that the recovery can go forward.
News break. Charles Osgood, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Richard C. Hottolin. Ambassador Philip Habib, after talks with Prime Minister Begin in Jerusalem, is starting a shuttle to put the Beirut settlement together. Habib saw Begin twice today, and as he left, the usually taciturn diplomat told reporters, "We did good work today." Israeli state radio says Habib is now going back to Beirut and will then return to Jerusalem. Israel has accepted in principle a plan under which the 6,000 to 9,000 PLO fighters will leave Beirut for several Arab countries as a multinational force moves in behind them to maintain order in West Beirut until the Lebanese government can take over. Israel has demanded certain amendments, which Habib is now negotiating. As Habib continued his mission, Israel maintained relentless military pressure on the PLO and West Beirut. For the third day, the Palestinian area was bombed and shelled for 3.5 hours. As usual, the Israeli army spokesman said the PLO had broken the ceasefire. In Washington, the administration is accentuating the positive. Jane Miller reports.
Secretary of State George Shultz was on Capitol Hill this morning, briefing House Republican members on the latest situation in Lebanon and giving an update on the status of negotiations now underway for evacuating the PLO out of Beirut. Afterward, House Minority Leader Robert Michael told reporters Shultz said the negotiations are now focused on the specific method of evacuation.
He gave us encouragement that that matter was being resolved by Philip Habib, that there had been discussions with respect to logistical means, so I would suspect that that suggests that there's real movement.
Michael said Schultz did not give a certain time by which the evacuation of the PLO may begin, but he did say, in his words, it seems we're no longer talking about weeks, but days. Jane Miller, CBS News, Washington.
It's amazing how many people have something to say about V8.
It has the flavor of a juice from Grandma's backyard garden. I feel like I'm maybe getting some nutrients that I might be missing when I skip a meal.
What's so good about V8?
It has 8 different vegetables in it.
Beets, parsley, celery.
It's very low in calories.
Lettuce, watercress.
I think it's the best thing a man ever made.
Spinach.
The only way to try it is to try it.
It's like, you know, 8 different vegetables jumping all over your tongue.
V8 is my little secret to nutrition.
Am I on camera now?
Smooth ride, lots of miles, and big sale. They're all at Sears. Plus,
confidence. We install it at Sears.
Now, 40% off Road Handler steel belted radials. Sears Best Highway Radio at our biggest savings ever, plus federal excise tax. Save $5 on our heavy duty radial tune shocks, only $9.99 each. And save $15 on air adjustable shocks, installation extra. At Sears Tire and Auto Centers, we install confidence. You can count on Sears. Speaker Thomas O'Neill this morning invited President Reagan to address a televised joint session of Congress to make his case for passage of his tax bill. O'Neill told reporters the president is, in his words, going to have to influence the American people, and so far he's not doing it, unquote. O'Neill went on, if he wants to use the House, I'd be more than happy, and he added it would be a good idea to have a joint session of Congress. As O'Neill made his suggestion, President Reagan was on his way to Billings, Montana, where he's due to land in about an hour. The president plans to help that city celebrate its 100th birthday, and he plans to get some grassroots help for his tax increase package. In speeches he's scheduled to deliver in Billings this afternoon, President Reagan will present his $99 billion tax program over a period of 3 years as a series of economy-boosting reforms rather than simply a revenue-raising measure. A South African defense spokesman says that South African troops yesterday killed 113 guerrillas in a new attack on a guerrilla camp in southern Angola, bringing the total killed in the latest sweep up to 314. The guerrillas are members of SWAPO, the Southwest African People's Organization, which has been fighting for the independence of Namibia. Stocks and other news after this.
If you need a new 82 car or truck, come to the Dodge Challenge Clearance. Dodge has the cash help you need. Participating Dodge dealers have factory cash incentives they can pass on to you for great deals. And Dodge has something Ford, GM, and the imports don't. A three-way, five-year, 50,000-mile protection plan. With every new 82 American-built Dodge passenger car, you get engine and powertrain protection, outer body rust-through protection, and free scheduled maintenance. All for 5 years or 50,000 miles, whichever comes first. And participating Dodge dealers have rebates on imports, $300 on Challenger, $400 on Colt. That rebate gives base Colt the lowest suggested retail price of any car in America. Dodge dealers have rebates on pickups, too, $300 to $1,000 depending on model. See dealer for details. Dodge must clear out 150,000 new 82s by September 30th. Come to the Dodge Challenge Clearance for the cash help you need to buy a new 82. Protection plans are limited warranties. Deductible may be required on engine powertrain plan.
A federal judge in Washington says he will not approve last January's proposed settlement of the Justice Department's antitrust suit against AT&T without major modifications, such as the letting the 22 majority-owned telephone companies, which AT&T has agreed to spin off, continue to sell telephones and switchboards. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average down 2.85, volume on the big board just over 20 million shares, the Dow Jones Industrials 776.45. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.